Welcome to the Tiger Laxcast. Jerry Price here with Princeton and head men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. And coach, welcome aboard.
Happy to be back.
I got to keep my podcast straight here. I just got done recording the one with Courtney, the court report. And we talked a little bit about bus travel. And I mentioned that I was on the bus this week. It was my first bus trip since 1996. So every other game since 1996 I've actually driven to. But I like the bus. And one thing I was talking about with Courtney is the idea that it's like on the bus that you can, and the pieces away from what people see is where programs sort of get built and traditions get handed down from one class to the freshman class and ways of doing things get reinforced and, guys get to know each other. And I think that helps with the on-field product. Do you agree or is that overstating it?
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, I've got a bone to pick with the Ivy League right now because of our 32-man travel roster. And I think that actually hurts our culture a little bit in the sense that, we've got guys that work the Monday through Friday and then don't have an opportunity to travel due to a, very outdated travel size of 32. But I think you're spot on. I'm curious to know, what were your big takeaways from the bus?
From the bus. One is you guys eat well. If you don't eat well, eat a lot.
Eat a lot.
I like the Chick-fil-A. It was a very nice touch.
It was a first for us. We were happy about it.
One of the things, and Courtney was saying is that they have 15 players. You have 40 or however many players and coaches and staff, et cetera. So, they're more spread out on the bus. But I think that, I liked it because I got a chance, not just because I was on the bus, but because I was on your schedule the entire time, just to see a lot of the pieces of the program and how they work and, how the attention is on details that seemingly are not really relevant, but all added together become relevant. And I thought it was a really good experience.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I think, we've got some young guys. I think Jamie Atkinson did a good job
on the movies.
The
thing is, Troy was the big movie on the way down. That's almost 3 hours. And when you're going to Virginia, you need something like that.
Very strategic pick. Very good by the young guy.
And the other thing that was good about Troy is that it's not the kind of movie where if you miss something, you lost the plot. So, there's going to be another fight and there's another one after that. And they're trying to get the wife back, and these guys are fighting each other, and it's a constant theme throughout, so that it's not like you have to pay close attention to the entire thing. So that was an excellent choice.
It was a good pick.
And then Super Troopers, I was very pleased with that. That's a classic.
It's been a bus favorite of our guys. We've almost worn it out, but as long as they can get a good laugh every now and then, it was funny.
But in all seriousness, I think that you can tell. That's a big part of the experience, I think, is the stuff that's not just the game itself. And I think, you can tell it's a team that likes each other. It's a team that isn't split between, classes. That it's one team. It's not like all the guys hang out just with the guys in their class. And, I think I really enjoyed it. And the other part of it that really fascinates me is Bryce. Because he, they're so lucky to have a guy like that who, first of all, he's a Marine, he's detail-oriented, clean the bus, clean, But the other thing is, he doesn't mind injecting himself immediately into what these guys are doing at Princeton and, just knowing that he has their back. You could see the freshmen responding to him, which, he could be a little much for a young kid to figure out in the first couple of months that they're here.
Yeah, I think look, Bryce is wonderful. We're spoiled to have, to be able to allow, some of our faculty fellows travel. Bryce has been with, he's been with me through the thick and thin of it every bit of the way. And to your earlier point, when you talked about our team and, not being separated by classes, I think that, ever since I've been at Princeton in my 5 years here, I've always been very impressed with our locker room. And it's always something that I talk to families about in the recruiting process, about how good, how truly good of guys and truly how great men, we really do have. And I think that, we're class blind in terms of playing time, but I'd like to think our locker room is class blind. I think that, guys just do a good job of jumping in, immersing themselves in our culture, and really trying to own it from the get-go.
And one thing, I noticed a lot of things, but one thing is that one thing you don't have to worry about is you're walking into a hotel with your guys, or you're walking into the restaurant where we had dinner on Friday night, where, you know, there's a lot of people there eating dinner, and, like, you know, the team's in the back room and we were at one table, but there's a lot of people around. And what you don't have to worry about is your guys being a bunch of jerks. And that's, like, I mean, it's something maybe you want to take for granted, but you shouldn't take it for granted. And I think it's, you know, it's pretty good that you could do those things. Like, you walk into a hotel that's, you know, teeming with people, and everybody's wearing something that says Princeton lacrosse on it, and so they're completely visible, and they're big, and they're young, and athletic, and, you know, they're an easy target, and they're polite, and they're, you know, you're not leaving the restaurant in shambles, and they're not making a ton of noise behind you. And I think, you know, those are all good things too. You know, I feel like that also speaks to the leadership from the players themselves.
I'd like to think so. I mean, you know, I always tell our guys, you know, what makes me most proud is when I walk out of a, you know, out of a restaurant, and the folks or the owners come up and compliment us and say, hey, you know, your young guys are so polite. They did such a nice job. You know, they're such great manners. You know, we wish you the best of luck. We hope you come back next year, you know, or in 2 years, whatever it may be. And, you know, I'm the first one to pass those compliments on to our guys, because I think that, you know, the more you can reinforce it, and it's stuff that we talk about all the time, policies, procedures, how to travel, bus protocol, travel protocol, attire, you name it. And, you know, you are right. I mean, look, it's the old coach's adage. If I can't trust you to wear the right clothes to dinner, or, you know, handle this policy or procedure properly, how can I trust you, you know, at a timeout in the fourth quarter of a very tight game? So I think that our guys do a really great job with that. I think that, you know, that is the foundation, that is the cultural piece, you know, in within our program. You know, Bryce does an outstanding job, you know, upholding that. And then our captains do a really nice job too, because they understand that, you know, you take care of the details, and the details will take care of you in the long run. So I appreciate you pointing that out.
So as for the game itself, it was an 18-15 Virginia win. I came away from the game, though, encouraged, because Virginia is obviously a very good team. I think they're improved over where they've been. I'll be surprised if they don't win any ACC games this year. You know, clearly a NCAA tournament caliber team, and that game goes either way. A couple of things that just really hurt at the wrong time, and they become big. I thought the one goal where Princeton was on the man up and turned it over, and then they scored when the goalie threw it the length of the field, and they made one more pass. But even before that, with the flag down situation, you know, if you score there, you get the face off, and you score, that's a two-goal advantage. And then it was just I think it was Emmett Cordray was cutting, and the pass was there, and the Virginia kid just tipped it, and then, you know, you have the extra man, and they take advantage of it. And then the goal at the end of the third quarter, where the long stick midi scored just as time was expiring, those things were real killers. But, you know, I thought it was a pretty good performance by Princeton, 15 goals. And you know, the obvious issue is face-offs, where Virginia won 26 out of 36. But again, like, their wing guys are really good, and Conrad doesn't face off like Currier does, but he's a very similar kind of player to he's a similar kind of player to Currier in that he does everything. He's not a similar kind of player to Currier because he's not going to face off. He's not going to lead him and cause turnovers. He's not going to put up 58 points either. But, you know, a Currier type of player on the wings whose best skill is coming up with loose balls in 50-50 situations. So those are my takeaways. What about you?
You're spot on. I mean, look, you know, there were some positives to come out from that. I think that, you know, we struggled, you know, especially, you know, on the bus ride home and on Sunday, you know, early Monday before we were able to meet with our team again. Because, look, when you have, you know, X amount, 15 goals and only 7 turnovers, you know, you'd like to think you'd be able to put together a pretty good game. But, you know, our 7 turnovers, you know, and as much as I was preaching the details earlier, you know, we're young and we made some mental mistakes, you know, and it's early in our season. And unfortunately, you know, we'll always take the blame for that as coaches because, you know, it's our job to prepare these young guys. And, you know, we clearly didn't prepare them enough. But there were certain instances, you know, for example, you know, on that man-up goal where we turned it over, you know, we're not moving our feet on the perimeter. We're throwing through stick lanes. So that's a careless turnover. And then to come down the other end, we weren't playing our proper, you know, off-ball positioning, you know, 5 yards above, you know, above our man, and we give up an easy one. And then we slide to a guy with one hand on a stick. So we just compounded mistakes on that play. You know, at the end of the quarter, you know, there was a play, you know, whether it's Mike Marine's stick gets knocked out of his hands, we don't realize we're in a 5-man situation. We're kind of matched up. And we give up an easy one. And right there, those are mistakes that, you know, in the heat of the game, you hope you did prepare your guys to make that decision and communicate through it. But unfortunately, we didn't. So those were the mistakes that are, that's a tough pill to swallow, to be able to make, you know, and there were about six or seven of them throughout the game. You know, if we could have eliminated half of those, I think we would have given ourselves a better chance to win, even with the deficient production at the faceoff X.
But I also think that it's much better to go play Virginia in week two, have a game like that that really challenges you, than to, you know, go find a team that, that really, you know, isn't going to be competitive with Princeton, whoever that team is, and you know, pad record and move on from there. I mean, I think it's really good.
Yeah, I agree. Look, we're going to try to play the best schedule in the country every year. We want to see what we're made of early, especially so as we come to Ivy time, we can kind of take our shape and really understand our strength and weaknesses. You know, look, we were happy again. It was a good game, but you know, I think that after we came out of the Monmouth game, I don't think we were super confident as a group in terms of offensively, defensively, face-off unit. You know, even our coaching staff, you know, we did some really uncharacteristic things in that game and played at a very uncharacteristic pace. So I think coming into this week, we were just kind of trying to get back on our groove, play more of our style lacrosse, you know, be efficient offensively, move the ball, keep the ball hot defensively, change some things up, make adjustments, you know, be physical at certain points of the field. And I think we did a better job. I think coming out of that, I don't think anyone's happy in the orange and black, but I think that, you know, we can look back on the tape and say, okay, hey, we're able to play with, you know, who we think's a pretty good team. We made too many mistakes. We won't be able to win any games if we continue to make those mental errors. But outside of that, you know, I think it's a good step for us.
It's a lot of young guys out there playing. You know, it's easy to forget that it's even Sowers is only a sophomore. But a couple of guys who really stood out. One is Andrew Song, the Ivy League Rookie of the Week. Just had an incredible game. I mean, he had the goal. He had three ground balls, two caused turnovers. He won two faceoffs. He just wasn't intimidated in the least. He just brought a lot of energy and a lot of positives, and he was recognized by the league for that. And I also looked it up, and he's one of only six players at Princeton since caused turnovers became an official stat in 2009. And the only long stick who's ever done this had a goal, had a faceoff win, a caused turnover, and a ground ball in the same game. And that's it's Currier, him, both Ficaros, Paul Barnes, and Peter Smythe, and that's the entire list of guys who've done it. And Andrew Song did it in his second game, and that's pretty impressive.
It really is. I mean, he did an awesome job. You know, we're thrilled with his performance. You know, again, he made a couple mistakes too as a young guy, but overall, he put a really complete game together. We weren't that surprised. You know, this is something he does every day in practice. So we're happy for the young guy to get up there, get that experience, take our number one pole runs, and, you know, he seized the opportunity. So we're happy with that.
And Robertson now 6 goals, 6 shots, 9 for 10 in his career. The one goal was just an incredible goal, the feed from Brown. And the other thing about Brown is he's seized the field really well. He's not just a finisher. I mean, that pass that he made to Robertson was a great pass, but you also have the confidence to throw that pass, and you can't wait till the guy's like wide open to do it. So Brown continues to be impressive. Robertson continues to be impressive. You know, these are really good signs. And then throw in Emmett Cordray scoring 3 goals. He had 3 for his career prior to that.
Sure. I mean, look, down on attack, we've got 2 sophomores and a freshman. Those guys are doing a great job. You know, Phil Robertson is as efficient as a player as we have, and I'm sure he's watched a lot of Gavin McBride tape and, you know, just understanding how to play off R22 and really just recognized where to pick his spots. So he's, you know, we've been really fortunate with his play. And then Chris Brown, again, we spoke about him last week, but he continues to do a good job. He's a big, assertive, strong player. So he's, you know, we're pleased. And to have Emmett come out of the gates and put 3 in, we're happy with his production. He's a guy that, you know, we've been a little nicked up at his position, so he's been able to step up and, again, seize an opportunity. I think that he does such a good job of doing the fundamental parts of the game, you know, in terms of running through the ball, in terms of, you know, really picking his spots of when he can take chances. He's just he's a really great team player. He's a really good part to have, you know, within our offense.
This week, the challenge is not much easier. It's Johns Hopkins. It's a 6 o'clock start Saturday at Homewood Field, so it's another road trip. What are your preliminary thoughts on Hopkins?
It's early in the week. I mean, we're still working. You know, it's early, so we're still working on Princeton stuff. But they're always a well-coached team. They're very, very slick offensively. They've got great offensive talent always. They're kind of finding themselves defensively right now. They've got a couple guys back from last year. Their goalie's kind of settling in. They're strong at the faceoff X. They're always a very well-coached team. So we anticipate nothing but a great game, and an absolute battle.
And that's a 6 o'clock start, not a 1 o'clock start. It was originally an afternoon game. Got moved to 6, not for TV, though, because it's on tape delay on TV, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. So it's definitely on tape delay on ESPNU. I don't think it's live on ESPNU. It's tape delay on 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Princeton-Hopkins is one of the great rivalries that Princeton has, and it goes back all the way to the beginning of the program. And it's a good. I'm glad that as Hopkins has moved into the Big Ten, that's one of the rivalries that's survived.
Yeah, I mean, we're thrilled to be able to play this game year in and year out. I think it's a great early season test. I think it's two great programs, two storied programs. You're either playing a wonderful game at 52 or a wonderful game at Homewood, two outstanding college venues. So we're thrilled to have them on the schedule. I hope they feel the same, but we're looking forward to just putting our preparation out there this week, giving our guys another test and continue to get better.
So it's Hopkins on Saturday at 6 in Baltimore, and then Tuesday night it's NJIT here, and then a week from Saturday, the 10th, it's Rutgers here. So we'll be back next week. We'll be able to talk about the Hopkins game and the NJIT game and look ahead to the Rutgers game. In the meantime, good luck Saturday in Baltimore.
Thank you for all the support.
Coach Matt Madelon, the Princeton Laxcast, and we'll be back each week during the lacrosse season, and we'll be talking about the 2018 Princeton Tigers. And once again, thank you for your support of Princeton Men's Lacrosse.